You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, along with Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vincent, how are you?
Jeff, I am doing well. We are in a time of weirdness. I'm going to say it every time, but we're pushing along.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. Today we're going to finish up our draft from yesterday's episode, drafting one player season per decade and one per position, eight positions, and then starting pitcher and relief pitcher. For a total of 10 players, we picked our first five each on yesterday's episode, so go back and listen to that if you haven't. I'll give a summary before we start. That'll be in the second half of this show. Before that, we're going to talk about the Dodgers Zoom party. We're going to touch on Dustin May and talk a little bit about Joe and Oral's interview with Clayton Kershaw on their podcast. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so first, just some house cleaning stuff we hadn't touched on, I guess. Dustin May officially did win that Best Hair in Baseball contest. That was end of last week, I think. We had talked about it when there was still a day or two left in the voting, but he won pretty handily, which was good. I pulled up some pictures of Dansby Swanson, and I don't even understand how he made the finals. I mean, I'm sure his hair's fine, but
I think we know why.
Yeah, Braves fans.
And other people voting for different reasons.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Dansby probably, maybe if it was a handsome contest, he might beat Dustin May. But yeah, Dustin May won, and he should have, you know. I voted more based on most unique hair rather than best hair. I'm glad that I don't have Dustin May's hair, but I respect him for it, and I admire it, and I'm glad he won. Did you have any thoughts on that final vote?
Other than being surprised, maybe, like I said, Braves fans have taken beat the Dodgers once or twice in these fan polls. But I guess Dustin May's hair was just wild enough to kind of get some votes from other fan bases to maybe help him put him over the top.
Yeah, somebody suggested that maybe people saw the Halloween picture of Dustin May and were afraid to, or not Halloween, it was dress up day, whatever it was, when he dressed up as the It Clown, and they were afraid to not vote for him for fear of what he would do to them. Hey, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Next item of business, Clayton Kershaw was on off air with Joe and Oral. We won't summarize the whole interview. Obviously, you should definitely listen to it. It's a great show. If you miss listening to Joe and Oral while watching the Dodgers, it's a decent substitute. They do a really good job, of course, and they've had two episodes, or three?
Two. Three.
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw
first
was their
guest,
third one.
That,
yeah, their first guest was Kershaw. It was really good, but the one thing we wanted to touch on was a week or two ago, I mentioned on this show that I was a little bit nervous that Kershaw, all this time off, might give Kershaw the bug to be a full-time dad or something and think maybe he didn't need baseball. But Vince, from what he told Joe and Oral, seems like the opposite is true.
Yeah, he basically said that it kind of reminds him, or not reminds him, well, yeah, it reminds him that he loves baseball and he misses baseball and that, you know, he still has that fire and passion to go out there and that he's not ready to kind of be retired and be at home all the time. Not in a negative way against like his kids or family or anything, just the fact that if there's no competitive fire, you're not gonna be able to play. But he definitely still has that because he's ready to go out there.
He does seem to be really enjoying his time at home, especially with little Cooper being so young. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise, but he definitely gave the impression that he is not ready for that full time. So hopefully sooner rather than later, he will be yanked away from his family for our benefit.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get back to it.
And last thing, on a few hours ago, Monday evening, the Dodgers did a Zoom party. It was well done. They originally opened it up to the first 1,000 people to RSVP, but then they got so much demand they actually opened it up to 10,000. As far as I know, the number of people on the call wasn't part of the technical difficulties, but there were definitely technical difficulties, especially when they were trying to share screens. So they tried to do the find the ball under the cap game that they do between innings, and that video was so choppy that nobody possibly could have guessed it, because everything would freeze and then everything would be in a different place. So they should try that maybe at the game. And then the worst part was at the end they had a video. It was just audio of Vin Scully giving an update on his health, and with pictures of him interspersed, and it sounded really bad. It was very choppy. You couldn't hear much of what Vin said, and what you could hear was kind of slow, and it was almost like, if you didn't know that it was technical difficulties, it would have been really sad, because Vin sounded really bad. But luckily it was just technical difficulties, and the Dodgers tweeted out the full video, and it was much better when it wasn't choppy, and made me feel good to hear Vinny's voice and hear him in good spirits again. Other than that, you didn't get to watch the Zoom party, right, Vince? Not a lot notable. Joe and Alana kind of were the hosts of it, and they had a lot of different people. Player-wise, they had Justin Turner, Kenley Jansen, Joe Kelly, Jock Peterson.
I saw Will Smith.
And Will Smith. I think it was just those five. And then celebrity-wise, they had Mario Lopez, they had Jaleel White, they had Brad Paisley, George Lopez, Miles, what's his name? Miles Jones? Miles, I can't remember. 15 or 16-year-old kid. I think he's an actor. So they had some celebrities. Then they had Eric Karros and Ron Say and Steve Yeager and Jerry Hairston Jr., Oral Hershiser, obviously. Ned Colletti was there. So, yeah, just kind of a lot of Dodgers and former Dodgers and Dodger fans, celebrities and stuff. And it was really just kind of an excuse to hang out. Dieter Ruhl was there. He played Take Me Out to the Ball Game. He played the national anthem to start the thing. Todd Leitz was there. He had some technical difficulties early on when he was supposed to be announcing things, but he did a good job announcing the seventh inning stretch. So it was nice to hear his voice again. You don't know how much you miss the voice of Dodger Stadium until you hear it again. And overall, it was a fun little thing. They said they plan on doing it again. I assume that they will have learned some lessons from this, and the next one will go a little bit more smoothly.
Yeah, it seemed like it was fun. I'll definitely have to hop on the next one. I'm assuming they open it up to everyone again.
Yeah, I did see the button said that it was recording, so the Dodgers may make this one available to the public at some point, because I'm pretty sure they did record it. I was on a little bit late, or basically right on time, and apparently before it started, they accidentally caught George Lopez saying some F-bombs about the Astros. And the Astros were a running theme during the gag. At one point, George Lopez pulled out his guitar. After Brad Paisley pulled out his guitar and sang a verse of his latest song, George Lopez pulled out a guitar and sang a verse about if you hear two bangs on the trash can, it's a curveball. So that was fun. And Joe Kelly was kind of the star of the show, changing up his Zoom backgrounds. He had actually the same one you had on yesterday's episode with us, Vince, the Joe Exotic one. Joe Kelly had that one. He had one of Gabe Kapler lying shirtless in like a model's pose for a little while. So Joe Kelly was kind of the star of the show, if you want to call that a star. It was fun, and I'm glad the Dodgers did it. And it was nothing special, but it was fun. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah. I think that'll wrap it up for this. We'll be back in a minute to do the second half of our draft. So keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, Vince, as we laid out on yesterday's episode, our draft is one player from each of the eight positions, plus a starting pitcher, plus a relief pitcher, for a total of 10 players each, one from each decade from the 1920s through the 2010s. That's 10 decades, 10 players, and one season. You're picking a season. So yesterday, you picked Jackie Robinson's 1951 at second base, Maury Wills' 1962 at shortstop, Zach Wheat's 1924 season in left field, Babe Herman's 1930 season in right field, and Eric Gagne's 2003 season as a relief pitcher. I picked Mike Piazza's 1997 season at catcher, Jackie Robinson's 1949 season at second base, Adrian Beltre's 2004 season at third base, Pedro Guerrero's 1985 season in left field, and Cody Bellinger's 2019 season in right field. So we each have five players left, and I guess since I'm hosting this time, you get to go first this time around, Vince. What's your next pick?
Yeah, I don't think we have anything that's going to cross anyways, but I'm just going to go in order now from the year. So I have 1940s left. I kind of put myself in a corner because the 1940s, there wasn't really a lot of standouts. And when I took Jackie the 40s, I should have took Jackie in the 40s. But either way, 1941, Dolph Camilli actually had a pretty, really good year for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He led the league in home runs with 34, had 120 RBIs. He actually led the league in strikeouts as well with 115. But he won the MVP that year. And of all the stuff that wasn't great in the 1940s, Dolph Camilli stood out, and I did need a first baseman, so it worked out for me.
Yeah, Dolph Camilli, 1941, is a good pick. I'm going to go ahead and follow that up with my Dolph Camilli. I bet if you had taken money on this bet or on this draft before we started, nobody would have guessed that Jackie Robinson and Dolph Camilli would be the two guys who both of us picked, but they are. I picked Dolph Camilli's 1939 season, and it was not his MVP season, as you got that one, but he wasn't much worse. In fact, he was, yeah. So in 1941, the year you picked, he had 6.8 war. 1939, he had 6.4 war. Finished 12th in the MVP voting. Dolph Camilli was really, really good for quite a while with the Dodgers. And, it does make me laugh, though, because he's not a household name among Dodger fans. But you and I both picked Dolph Camilli as our first baseman.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because, there's a lot of good years in first baseman, but then those years have to coincide. So you got kind of have to put the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah, Dolph Camilli definitely benefited from the decade rule in this draft.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right, so my next open year is the 1970s. Jeff got me on 2004 Adrian Beltre, which is by far the best season of third baseman for Dodgers. And there's a lot of different ways could have went with it. But Ron Say, as my third baseman, is not going to be bad. And his 1975 year is the year I'm going to go with, where he finished 25 home runs, 101 RBIs, OPS plus of 139. He was an all-star that year. So nothing spectacularly great over the top, but just where it fit, he worked out pretty well for me. And Ron Say is a Dodger legend, so I'm proud to have him on my team.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Ron Say. Very good pick. I'm going to do my 70s pick next. I wasn't sure where I was going to squeeze this in because this one, I doubt anybody would have guessed that anybody would pick him. But for my shortstop, I'm going with 1970 Billy Grabarkiewicz. Billy Grabarkiewicz played, really 1970 was his only full season in the big leagues. He played parts of 7 years. It's 1970 is the only time he got more than 238 plate appearances. But in 1970, he played 156 games, 640 plate appearances, 17 homers, 19 stolen bases, 95 walks. He had a .289 batting average, .399 OBP, .454 slugging percentage. That's a .134 OPS plus. Made his only All-Star team and put up 6.5 WAR. And he was a utility player. He played all over the place. But of his 640 plate appearances, I got to pull up the split. But he played plenty as a short. So he had 180 plate appearances as a shortstop. And so that's regular enough that I felt comfortable. You and I were talking off the air a week or two ago about how historically bad the Dodgers shortstops have been, at least offensively. And, you know, Billy Grabarkiewicz played enough shortstop that I felt like he bucked that trend and put up 6.5 WAR in his only full season. He was kind of a pre-modern Chris Taylor. Could play a lot of different positions, and when he got a chance to play full-time, he did really well. And I'm looking, he was never traded for Zach Lee, but other than that, he was pretty similar to Chris Taylor. So Billy Grabarkiewicz, 1970, is my shortstop.
Yeah, definitely a name I did not think we were going to hear on this. All right, so my next pick, I kind of had a shift strategy a little bit. I assumed I was just going to take one of the Kershaw years from the 2010s, but then kind of as this thing narrowed down and I didn't grab it early, it actually worked out because I'm going to have to go away from that in order to kind of fit what I want. So I'm going to go with my 1980s, and I'm going to go with 1988 Earl Hershiser, who won a league-high 23 games, 15 complete games, 8 shutouts, league-high 267 innings pitched. He was a Cy Young, 6th in MVP voting, and obviously had a pretty nice run in the postseason as well. I don't know if that's going to count for it, but if we do get to that point, I'm going to take Oral's 1988 season.
Yep, yeah, you can't go wrong with Oral. Very good pick. My next pick, I am going to knock out the 1950s and my center fielder, and I'm going with Uncle Duke, Duke Snyder, from 1953, the year my parents were born. Duke Snyder finished 3rd in the MVP voting that year, which was his second highest finish in that voting. He led the majors in OPS and slugging percentage. He batted .336 with a .419 on base percentage and a .627 slugging percentage. That's a 165 OPS plus. Led the major to 370 total bases, 42 homers, 126 RBIs, 132 runs scored. Just dominant. 9.2 WAR that year, which is the 4th highest total in Dodger history, or at least in the 1920 to 2019 range that we're looking at. It's the 4th highest total. You have the highest one, Jackie Robinson, for 1951. But then I have the next 5 on this list. So I have 5 of the top 6 in WAR on my team, including Uncle Duke from 1953. I'm just going to look and see that MVP voting, because that was a heck of a season. Yeah, he probably, I don't know if he should have won the MVP. There were no position players with a higher WAR than him. There was a pitcher, Robin Roberts, had a higher WAR, but that wasn't going to happen. But yeah, he had a higher WAR than both Roy Campanella and Eddie Matthews, who both finished ahead of him in the MVP voting. So that's my pick, Duke Snyder, 1953.
Yeah, I definitely played myself going with 51, Jackie, because it took a strong one from the 40s out and a couple strong ones from the 50s out that I could have used. But
yep.
Either way, I'm going to take my team. It's constructurally built. all right, next pick. I am going to go to the 90s, and you took the best year of Mike Piazza that he had as a Dodger, but I'm going to still take Mike Piazza. I'm going to take a year where he actually only played in 112 games, but he still finished 4th in MVP voting. He had a .346 average, OPS over 1,000, and had 32 home runs in 112 games and 93 RBIs. So imagine if he would have got those 30 more games that he was used to playing. He might have put up better numbers than 1997. So I'm going to go with 1995, Mike Piazza.
Okay. Yeah, 95 was a shortened season because of the strike, but not that shortened. He still must have missed some time.
I think he had a hamstring injury.
All right, all I have left is my starting pitcher and my relief pitcher. I guess I'm going to go with my relief pitcher next. I'm going to go with 1966 Phil Regan. In 1966, Phil Regan for the Dodgers put up 4.9 WAR as a relief pitcher, which is the highest WAR by a relief pitcher in Dodger history. He only pitched for the Dodgers for 2.5 years, but in 1966, he pitched in 65 games, had 21 saves, 48 games finished, and had a 1.62 ERA in 116 innings, which is just outstanding, obviously. He also went 14-1 in relief, and he actually finished seventh in the MVP voting that year. Probably not deserved. Relief pitchers never deserved that to finish that high, probably. But it was one of 2 years. He also, in 1968, split between the Dodgers and Cubs, led the league in both games finished and saves. But he also did in 1966 and put up a great season. And now he is now 83 years old and is the pitching coach for the Mets. He is still plugging away. Phil Regan is my relief pitcher.
Yeah, that's wild. He pitched in 1966 and still coaching today.
Yep.
All right, last pick. Like I said, I thought I was going to get Kershaw in the 2010, but I had to adjust it because center fielders weren't that plentiful in the other years I had left. So I'm going to take Matt Kemp in 2011 as my center fielder, adding what should have been another MVP to my team, but he was not MVP that year. We know why. But yeah, Matt Kemp, I'm going to throw him out there.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Kemp's MVP season. That was one of my favorite years by any player ever. So that's an excellent pick. It's funny, the Dodgers had Kemp and Kershaw, who were both awesome, and the rest of the team just stunk. Like, they didn't even make the postseason that year, despite having the what should have been the MVP. And was that Kershaw's first Cy Young Award? Yeah, so... all right, and for my last pick, all I have left is my starting pitcher. The best starting pitcher season in Dodger history was Sandy Koufax's 1963. He had 10.7 WAR. He went 25-5. I've already taken the 60s with Phil Regan, and so I'm going to go with a season that was just slightly worse than Koufax's 1963, and that is Dazzy Vance's 1924 season, in which he went 28-6. He had 30 complete games and 35 starts. He pitched 308 innings and had a 2.16 ERA, which is 1.74 ERA plus. Dazzy Vance, I've talked about Dazzy Vance a few times on this podcast, but he was just outstanding. And at this point, he was 33 years old, and it was his third full season in the big leagues. And he, it was his first, he won the MVP award in 1924. It was, yeah, just one of the best pitching seasons anybody has ever put up anywhere. And he is my starting pitcher and my representative from the 1920s.
Yeah, there we go. Dazzy Vance. Yeah, it's crazy going back and seeing some of the teams that we have, but, I think it'd make for a good series.
Yeah. All right, so we want to hear from you, the listeners. Who do you think won this draft? I'll give you a recap here. My starting 10, I've got Mike Piazza from 1997, Dolph Camilli from 1939, Jackie Robinson, 1949, Adrian Beltre, 2004, Billy Grabarkiewicz, 1970, Pedro Guerrero, 1985, Duke Snyder, 1953, Cody Bellinger, 2019, Dazzy Vance, 1924, and Phil Regan, 1966. And Vince has Piazza from 95, Camilli from 41, Jackie Robinson from 51, Ron Say from 1975, Maury Wills from 1962, Zach Wheat from 1924, Matt Kemp, 2011, Babe Herman, 1930, Oral Hershiser, 1988, and Eric Gagne, 2003. So the only repeats were Piazza, Camilli, and Jackie. But yeah. Two solid teams, I think. Listeners, tell us who won.
Yeah, I'm realizing now that Gagne is a little repetitive since Oral Hershiser won the whole game anyways.
Yeah. Who needs Gagne when you got Oral? So, of course, I have Dazzy Vance, who had 30 complete games that year. So, yeah.
We'll just throw the relievers out.
Yep. All right, Vince, you have anything else for today?
No, this was fun. Thank you, Brandon Johnson, for this suggestion. You know, if you guys have any more suggestions of drafts or topics or whatever, feel free to drop them to us, because it doesn't look like this is ending anytime soon, and we're going to need content to fill your guys' time.
Okay, and we have a special guest really quick before we go away. My daughter, Lindsay, wants to tell us who she would pick on her team.
Hi. That was really loud. I would pick Roberto Clemente. I don't know what year or whatever, because I don't know a lot about baseball in that sense, but I love him. I read a book about him a little while ago, and he's been my favorite player ever since. So I would pick him, but also I would also pick my brother Logan, because he's like the best baseball player that I've ever seen. So you major leaguers, you better watch out, because he's coming for you. That's all I have to say. Bye.
Thanks, Lindsay. Yeah,
Clemente was kind of a Dodger. So.
Yeah, Clemente might fit better in our next draft, which will be all-time players on any team. Clemente never did play in the big leagues with the Dodgers, but he was originally signed by the Dodgers and was taken in the Rule 5 draft when the Dodgers tried to hide him in the minors. The Pirates took him away, so that's a good pick, Lens. And Logan's always a good pick. All right, thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow. Are we going to start that next draft tomorrow, Vince?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. So we'll do a similar draft. I don't think we'll do it by decade. We're just going to pick our top 10. I think we'll still do that. 10 players each, one position, or one for each position, plus starter and reliever, and all-time team of players from any team. So we'll do that in the next couple days. Please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, go ahead and subscribe there to help other people find us. You can rate and review us on iTunes. That's always helpful. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. Our DMs are open on all of those. You can email us at LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
And now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. D. Have a good one.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!